Good afternoon to you, for me, David and Seath. Welcome to another edition of Talkback. Plenty there for you to talk about today on 08459-555-6678. Text me 81771 if you want to email. It's talk.back@bbc.co.uk. Okay, women in the pulpit, are you for or against the new moderator of the Presbyterian Church? The Reverend Stafford Carson is very clear on where he stands.
There's a minority within the Presbyterian Church who have not been persuaded about the rectitude of the ordination of women, and I'm among that minority. And we have had really a truce on the issue for all my ministry within the Church. The Church ordains women, and those of us who have a conscience about that, we don't frustrate or stand in the way of the Church in doing that.
The Reverend Stafford Carson restating his views after his election as moderator last night. You may recall he was involved in controversy at Christmas, that was a year or so ago, Christmas 2007, when he refused to share a pulpit with his female colleague in Portland Down, the Reverend Christina Brantley. Now, to talk about this, I have broadcaster and writer Christina Rees, who is a campaigner for greater rights for women priests in the Church of England. Also have the Reverend Angus Stewart from the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church in Ballymena. Christina Rees, you wouldn't agree with the moderator then?
I wouldn't at all. I think it goes back to the very core of who we are as people, and we know that humanity, men and women together, has been made in the image of God, and to suggest that somehow males of the species are that little bit much more in God's image, or that little closer to being able to represent Christ or preach the gospel or anything like that is heresy, and not only heresy, it's idolatry.
Let's hear the other view from the Reverend Angus Stewart. Mr. Stewart.
Christina Rees has just accused the Christian Church for almost 2,000 years of living in heresy and idolatry. That is amazing. The image of God as defined in Ephesians and Colossians consists of knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. All believers who have the Spirit of Jesus Christ are in the image of God, men and women equally. The issue here pertains not to the office of believer and being in the image of God, but to the special office of pastor, teacher, elder, and deacon in the Christian Church. And to that, Jesus Christ, the head of the Church, speaks very clearly through his apostle, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Christ rules the Church, and he says, not the feminists or the world or the false Church, but he says, men, and only certain men whom he calls. And it's a fearful thing to be a minister of the word of God, because James 3 verse 1 says, we'll be judged more strictly. And we've got to go with what Christ says and not the world.
Well, that's laying under the line, Christina.
I actually go back to the Gospels, to our prime example of Jesus himself. Jesus never treated women and men differently on the basis of whether they were female or male. He had theological discussions with women. The first apostle we know was Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles, as Augustine called her. The first evangelist was that Samaritan woman at the well who ran and said, "Let me tell you about a man who's told me everything about myself." I think that we have got hung up with the culture and conditions of first century Jerusalem and the way the early church had it right. Paul, his co-workers were all women. Most of the early church, Christian churches were founded in the homes of wealthy women. And Paul talks to his co-workers in Christ, and he used women like Priscilla and other women that we read about in Acts. They were there ministering right alongside Paul. So, you know, It's not good enough to cherry pick verses and try to impose what we're understanding, what Paul would have written in some of his letters about some of his practices, to what we have now. And basically it goes back to, does God have a different relationship with baptized men than God has with baptized women? I don't think so.
Well, what's the answer to that, Mr. Stewart?
As for cherry picking verses, I have quoted just one verse. I quote 1 Corinthians 14 and many others. But I'm quoting the verses that deal directly with the issue in hand, church offices. Now, the Lord Jesus, he had theological discussions, indeed, with men and women, because in the office of believer, both are fully equal. Mary Magdalene was an apostle in the sense that the word apostle means sent. She was sent to tell the disciples that Jesus was risen. But the apostles are the ones who are equipped with the full authority of Jesus Christ and laid as the foundation of the church. I'm thinking now of the 12 whom Jesus chose, all men, and the Apostle Paul as men. The Samaritan woman, she was a witness. And I fear that what we're getting from Christina is disparaging the New Testament scriptures. I feel there's a higher critical attitude, and that we're not getting a proper interpretation of the Word of God, New Testament, or the world says.
Christina, what about this general proposition that I'd argued before, that God chose a male priesthood, that Jesus chose 12 male disciples, and there were no women present at the Last Supper?
Well, first of all, we don't know there were no women present at the Last Supper, so that doesn't really feature in. He couldn't have chosen women as the core group to travel around. It was radical enough for him to have the second strand. I mean, women traveled with him, his own mother, the Marys, you know, their name there. And certainly women were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was sent, when God sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fell on everyone, women and men together. Now, those gifts and spiritual gifts and things that the Holy Spirit gives are cast out on all people. And I would have to say, if the Paul I know and love in the scriptures, so I'm not trying to disparage anything, the Paul I know and read in his wonderful letters, if he were alive today, the key to Paul is that he would have done anything to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to people who didn't already know it. And if he were alive today, by gum, would he be using women in the pulpit?
Yeah. On the question of the Presbyterians' church, Mr. Stewart, there are some within the church who feel the same way as a moderator does, but they have agreed that there are difficulties here, they agree that there are different opinions, and they just get on with it.
Yes, that's tragic. The moderator in the excerpt included at the start of this program said that the people who believe God's word, and I'm very clear and forthright on this, on the role of women in the church is not including the specialists, are a minority. And there's been a truce called on it. The difficulty is that in a church, according to the word of God, you can't let truth and error lie side by side. The Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and false doctrine is like gangrene. And so the proportion of women office bearers and the general acceptability of that in the church keeps increasing. And it gets worse and worse. Now, Christina was saying earlier that if Paul were alive today, he would say women in office. And Jesus felt constrained by cultural impositions so that he couldn't come full out and say, you know, women in all church office and so on. That is an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. He opposed all teaching which was contrary to the word of God in his day because he wasn't afraid of men. He was the Son of God and the Lord of truth. And the Apostle Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit, and he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's 1 Corinthians 14.
I have to say
after
that
he opposes women speaking in the church. And then he says, and this applies to Christina, but if any man or woman be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you don't want to hear the word of God and you want to go with cultural and political correctness, go with it. But don't claim to be a Christian. Don't claim to be spiritual. Don't claim to be the word of God.
Right, Christina, sorry, you're trying to get in, yeah.
I'm so sorry, Angus. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you'd come to a close. I have two things to say. First of all, Jesus did not speak out on many things. For instance, he did not condemn slavery outright. And he, you know, that was part of the culture. So we cannot just pick and choose about what if Jesus didn't condemn it out of hand, it should not be condemned. We've come to understand things. Our understanding of truth, of what God is trying to show us how to live, is an ongoing, unfolding revelation. We have been promised that when the Spirit came, we would be shown all truth. And we're still living in those days where it's being revealed. And quite honestly, I am very interested in responding to the guidance of God's living Holy Spirit and not getting stuck in stone and following the practices of good Christians who were living to the best of their understanding but hundreds of years ago.
Let me bring a listener in who has a view on this, Alan in Portadown. Hello, Alan.
Well, hello there, David. Yeah. I'd just like to come on with a view on it, of course. The problem is the majority of our people today reject the scriptures. You reject the Bible, you reject the God of the Bible. You reject the God of the Bible, you reject the authority of heaven. You reject the authority of heaven, you reject the commandments of God. And you reject the commandments of God, you know, stop the gospel of the devil.
Yeah.
You see, I don't have to come in and stop it, but for their
Yeah, to get it absolutely clear, Alan, you're in line with them. You are not in favor of women priests or ministers or pastors.
I am not in favor, of course. You see, I don't quote that Martin Luther, but I said to you before, David, that my conscience is my guide, Scripture is my authority.
Yeah.
And I can do nothing else but abide by a peace in Stafford and Angus are adhered to the Word of God. On from the reform perspective.
All right, Alan, thank you very much for your views. Katrina Rees, how much do you think things are changing? I mean, it's caused a lot of dispute within the Anglican communion, obviously, women priests. Within the other reformed, some of the reformed churches, anyhow, they accept the principle. The Catholic Church is still standing out. But what do you think, General? Do you anticipate change or not?
Absolutely. We've had women bishops, priests and deacons in the Anglican Communion worldwide now for 20 years and priests for much longer. And in the Church of England, next week, we'll be looking at the first draft proposals for legislation making it possible for women to be bishops in England. So we are within a few years of having women as bishops, and we've had women as priests now for nearly 16 years in the Church of England. And, you know, the church is dynamic. Tradition is dynamic. We're always trying to respond to where God is leading and showing us God's vision of how he wants his people to be.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, Christ is the head of our church. And I really do, your last caller, I think it was Alan. The Bible is how we understand and how we you know, the our prime authority. But we must never confuse the God we worship with the Bible, which is a collection of books written by flawed humans, and it's inspired, it's precious, it's our authority. But we must never confuse that God is infinite, and God is always showing us into new truth.
Right.
I think we can go forward with confidence that this is something that thankfully, we humans are catching up with God's vision for us today.
I want to take another listener in because he has a point that I'd like to put to Angus Stewart. Hello, Jerry.
Yes, David. I just like to point out, I'm not a theologian or anything, and I don't particularly press my faith anymore. But my idea is the Word of God. You know, this is in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures were interpretation by man. Yeah, I think it wrote something like 4 centuries after the death of Christ. So really, you know, when you look at all the apostles, of course, there were men, and they were going to interpret it in such a way that the Scriptures possibly excluded women. Now, the thing is, this may not particularly what God thought or Jesus Christ, you know. And as I say again, this is an interpretation. The Scriptures are interpretation of by man,
yeah,
the Word of God. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, okay, Angus Stewart. I want to hear Angus Stewart comment on that. And it ties up with something Christina said a moment or two ago, that the Bible really is a collection written by flawed humans.
Yep, well, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The Scripture is inspired and inerrant, and that's the watershed in this debate between myself on one hand and Alan, and on the other hand, Jerry and Christina. Christina indicates that the Bible isn't inerrant. It's some sort of testimony to revelation, and that is contrary to the historic Christian faith and modernism. Christina and I also differ on the relationship between the Word and the Spirit. The Spirit leads the Church into all truth by causing the church to understand and be faithful to the Scripture, the teachings of the Bible, not by going beyond it and fitting in with the culture. And her remark to things being written in stone, I think that's a disparagement of the Word of God. The change that she speaks of, the Bible has a word for it. It's called apostasy and departure. It's called being conformed to the present world. And she talked about her church, that Christ is the head of it, as the Church of England. And that is, quite frankly, astounding. And people ought to realize the Church of England, in now having women ministers and women bishops and so on, is wracked with a massive controversy. It can't even tell that the Bible condemns homosexuality. Rowan Williams, whom she's endorsed, believes that the Book of Revelation is the raving of a madman, that God's revelation is the lisping of a spastic child. He wants to tell us things and he can't. You know, the Church of England is losing members hand over fist. The conservative newspapers are saying, why doesn't that church get a grip and tell us what the Bible's saying, at least give us some moral advice?
Yeah.
The 39 articles, which it used to believe, you know, Now they're just shredded.
You've mentioned a number of things there, and we've got to get Christina Reese an opportunity to respond to that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is some truth that a lot of priests within the Church of England, within the Anglican Communion, did move to the Catholic Church because they felt that the Church of England or the Anglican Communion was becoming much too liberal, much too easygoing on these matters.
Do you know, there's always been two-way traffic between our two churches, between the Roman Catholic and the Anglican Church, and that has been the case ever since the Church of England was started. I have to say that Angus is wrong. The Church of England membership has actually been going up for the last few years. Our ordinations are up. They're the highest they've been in quite a few years. And it's not the doom and gloom that Angus paints that picture of. And he also said that I wanted to go beyond the Bible to culture. No, that's completely misunderstanding and misconstruing what I was saying. I want to go beyond the Bible to God, to God's truth. Now, I agree that the Bible is our authority. It is the inspired word of God. But it is the window to an infinite God. God cannot be encapsulated in anything written down in any book anywhere. God is beyond all of us. And I think it behoves us to keep spiritual humility and worship in fear and trembling, reading the Bible in one hand and opening our lives and hearts and minds to the Spirit and saying, where now, Lord? Where now?
Yeah. Angus, on the question of gender, I mean, where is God in this? Is God not neutral?
God is neither male nor female.
Right. And Jesus was his son.
Yes.
And was part of the Holy Trinity. Therefore, Jesus was God.
Yes.
So was Jesus neutral in the sense of gender?
Jesus, in his human nature, is a man. But according to his divine nature, he's neither male nor female.
And does that in any way alter the conversation we're having about women priests and the role of women or the role of men in the church?
It may do, but it may be a bit too complicated and long-winded to trace out now. I'd like to get back to something Christina said. She said that the Bible is inspired and authoritative. Well, 1 Timothy 2:12, which I quoted at the start, says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. How does she fit that inspired, authoritative word with her claims that she's only following the scriptures?
Well, we're going to have to finish on that one. I'm going to give Christina Reese an opportunity to respond to Timothy 2 as it is.
Well, that was written by Paul also in so many other places. He transcends some of his specific culture-bound comments. And I would go back to saying if Paul was alive today, there'd be women, priests and bishops, walking side by side with him, trying to convert the people to an understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ.
And so much for inspired authority.
All
to
right.
Scripture there.
Okay, thank you both for your respective views.
Thank you.